Okay, turn your attention to the 2016 budget. Da-da-da! Well, too bad. It's all been changed. I don't know if you guys heard Greg's car or truck broke down somewhere in the vicinity of, you know, state of Washington. He's walking in the rain. We don't really care. He has all the information in his truck. He's totally screwed up the public works demonstration. So they're going to prove that they can do it all without their leader. The lame excuse, anyway.
So he won't be here at all?
Correct. He's probably in a ditch, you know, in some valley somewhere.
The microphone's on.
Yeah.
I know. It's recorded. Hopefully he'll read it.
How many days left?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to go to Katie then.
Why not? Hey, Stephanie put together these fabulous packets for y'all. So it outlines the city's capital improvement program for 2016. And what Greg was going to say is that city staff has done a phenomenal job. He's so appreciative. Everybody here, Bo and Mike and Wendy and myself, have worked pretty hard on this, actually, and Stephanie as well, because she put together the packet. And be happy to share my copy. It's got some notes in it, but then I won't really know what I'm talking
about. It's so great you guys don't get to see it, because Greg has them all.
There will be a quiz.
Well, I asked if you wanted to.
No, why don't you just go through them? Why don't you go through them? Because you will get your copy soon enough.
Don't worry about it. Just kind of give us the highlights.
Just go on with what you've got and talk to us about it.
Did you send it to council, too?
No, I asked Greg if he wanted me to, and he said no, it wasn't final yet. So he just wanted to talk about it. So.
All right, so let's just have Katie do her presentation on the information.
Why haven't you started?
So we've got the four of us. We've broken this out by water, sanitary sewer, stormwater, roadway, and facilities, as you can see here. So Mike will come up and talk about the water, the stuff that he's doing for the water for 2016. And then when you get your awesome packets, then you'll be able to understand what we're talking about. So each part actually, it's all divided out. It's got the list broken down by utility or street or whatever. And then it's got the map showing where the projects are. So I'll let Mike go at it. Into the water.
Excellent. So some of it's going to be redundant. We have a water line crossing under Burlington Northern Railway on Thornton Road that's going to connect, give us another tie, intertie between the Thornton Road tank and Grandview Industrial Park. We have a sewer comp plan update, which began this year. We'll be finishing next year. Water supply and storage study, urban growth analysis, wellhead protection program. Beginning late this year and going through next year, we'll have a Thornton Road generator and new electrical gear to run the pumps. Both that station and Church Road will be upgraded. Two separate design analysis will be done, and we'll probably go out with a bid for the alternate. Possibly doing both at the same time.
Is Church Road the one that is?
Church Road is the booster station that we have down by the church.
Okay.
The Lutheran church. And it fills the large reservoir. So last time that system broke down, it took us just about 12 weeks to get parts for it, the electricals, because it's 70s vintage. So dryers will give us a more economical way of producing, pushing the water up the hill. I'll be able to throttle it the way I want to instead of have it completely on or completely off. And that will be the same with both stations. Then we go to a Guinevere sewer project, and I think Katie will talk about that. Washington Street is a sewer project, but it has a water element in it, so we're listing those. Central City Water Association, Katie will probably expand on. So we have a long-term planning, long-term water supply plan, and that's kind of a placeholder so we can go forward with our part of well planning.
When you say wellhead protection, you mean just making sure nobody's like pouring anything around it or getting into it?
The health department requires a wellhead protection program and a plan. Okay. And it will show us different areas that we can protect our water, our wells.
Just to keep someone from putting something in?
To look at all the different areas that could possibly damage our wellhead protection area. For future, mainly.
I'm still not quite sure. I liked your question. Is part of it intentional or accidental?
Yeah. So basically, you've seen where you've gone into cities and there'll be signs that'll say wellhead protection area. So if there is any runoff from different streets and stuff, it could potentially get into the groundwater source. Plus, we have to go out and we have to look at 10-year, 25-year, 50-year, 100-year zone of influence and try to protect that area so nothing will influence our aquifer.
You mean like aquifer recharge area or actually the pipe itself something getting
Well, most of our wells have a surface seal. Mm-hmm. And they also have a bentonite seal. We had to improve the one at the shop location. It actually had two seals. We had to cut down around the outside and put an extra bentonite seal on it. Most wells are developed with a big seal on them. So you're not really looking at that area as protection. You're looking at the broader area that could potentially filter into the ground, into your aquifer. There's a lot of elements involved with it.
Is there also then a sabotage element of that well protection?
You know, I don't know that there is. I think there's emergency response for different things. But I don't think there's a sabotage scenario.
Would it be easy to sabotage? Just now that we're talking about it?
Now that the lights are on and we can talk about how to flow from
there. Years ago when they talked about people potentially sabotaging or contaminating a water system, it's more likely that they would get a hold of a line and they'd pump the contamination into the system. They wouldn't contaminate a well. So,
but they're secure more than the fence. I mean, it's
pardon me?
Most of them are underground.
Our wells, yeah, they would be. But that's not how somebody would sabotage a water system if they wanted to go about it.
There are easier ways. Anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, let's move off that.
You've caught our attention, that's for sure. Thank you.
Okay, so if we go to sewer, we are finishing, we will be finishing this year and possibly going into next year, our wastewater facilities plan. So on next year's CIP, we have a final design and bid phase services for the facility. We'll be going out for an RFQ for engineering services to develop that final design.
Would we pay for that with... We just have to raise rates to pay for that, or will we do? I mean, how would we pay for something? I'm assuming that it's going to take $50.
I think I can answer that. Okay. When it comes to my turn tonight, in the 6-year look ahead on our water sewer storm spreadsheet, we still show the substantial bond proceeds from 2014 in the sewer fund. Substantial, and we've laid in their estimated capital needs, and I'll fine-tune that tomorrow from the latest plan. Once it's finalized, we'll keep refining it. But it looks to me like we need to, in 2017, go out for revenue bonds for a water sewer storm. storm especially, we have quite an investment to be done next year to stay ahead of the economic activity planned in the plan action area. Just the other, in 2017 for sewer, it could probably depend on when we have to build the new plant, the sewer plant, whether it be 17 or 18 or even 19. But that's something for we need to present and council to consider. The last time we got revenue bonds, which is water, sewer, storm, was 2014.
Okay. Thank you.
The last thing I have on the sewer CIP, and I think Katie should be able to cover the rest of this, would be our emergency response.
That's it. Any questions for Mike before we leave?
No.
Okay. Thanks, Mike.
So Mike was talking about a couple of projects that we're showing on the water comp plan but have other components. One of those is the Guinevere Alley sewer. If you remember, we've been upgrading various sewer lines, Sterling Avenue and that sort of thing. Guinevere is one of those projects where we've got a sanitary sewer line in the alley north of Guinevere between Washington and Guinevere Street. There's also a water main. It's made out of asbestos cement pipe. It's prone to breakage, so we're showing replacement of that water line. When we do the sewer, we'll be digging below it, and right next to it, the water line's probably not going to survive, so we're showing that on the water comp plan. And then we're also showing, we'll talk more about this in the street, Washington Street. We put in a TIB application for some money to redo Washington Street between Main and Vista, and there's a water component to that, so that's shown on the water CIP. And then, of course, the Central City Water Association consolidation project. That's the project that will take all of the remainder of Central City's mains, distribution mains, upgrade them to city standard, connect them into the city system, and then so that the city can take that over. And we have a Department of Commerce loan for that. So that's also shown on our water CIP.
Is that next year, Katie?
Yeah, we're actually starting design on that now. We're hoping to get that under construction in 2016, although we do have some time to get that done.
So is there an end date for the loan that we have to start digging?
There is, and I can't remember what it is off the top of my head either. We could look that up, though, if you'd like to know.
That's okay. I mean, you'll put it in your head, and I don't have to think about it.
Yeah. I'll remember before it
I believe it's adequate time.
Okay. We have, like, 3 years, I want to say.
He gives us enough time. He's the one.
Easy for you to say.
I know. I have confidence.
Thank you, Mark. So, jumping back to the sanitary sewer, we have some projects on here that one is the Thornton Road sewer main extension from I-5. So basically from the roundabout to Thornton Road where Stremler Gravel's doing the project now on Malloy. That's almost a mile worth of sewer. That sewer system is under capacity. There's houses being built there, so we need to upgrade that and upsize it and then send it down this other route to tie into the roundabout. So that project's on the CIP. That's about a $1.2 million project. We also have scheduled for next year upgrading sewer pump station 2. That's the one on Main Street at the bridge, on the east side of the bridge, as well as upgrading pump station 3. The design on those are they're being designed now. Those two pump stations were actually constructed at the same time, so they're very similar. And the pump station 3 is the one on Barrett Road. So those projects are on the CIP at just over $1 million apiece.
You're not going to ruin our skate park, are you?
Well, most likely. Temporarily, at least. Well, that's an active construction site, so we have that to look forward to. The LaBounty Sewer Project, that actually got rolled into the Main Street LaBounty roundabout project. So that'll switch over into a road project, but it does have the sewer component listed on the sewer side of the CIP. Malloy is listed, the project that we're doing now up on Malloy, that's there as well. And then again, the Guinevere Alley sewer, the sewer component is listed on the CIP at about $160,000. So I don't know if you guys have any questions about that. Sewer is exciting.
How much, what's the final tally for sewer?
$6,417,500.
Over how many years?
This is all the 2016, the 2016 list.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I try not to sweat when I think about this, but, you know, it'll be fine. We got some work to do. Next, I think Wendy will talk about sewer.
First projects on my list are the ones that Katie and I talked to you guys about a couple weeks back. So it's the three for the Gateway Storm area. So I won't go into detail since we already talked about that a couple weeks ago. Another project is going to be the Third Avenue Stormwater Improvements. So that's the project that we went out to for a grant a couple years ago. Got the design grant from Ecology and then went back and got the construction grant. They always like it when you do the design and they approve it, you're more likely to get the construction grant. So we have that either to use next year or in 2017 if it gets too busy next year with all the other big projects that we have lined up. So that's basically going to be just reconstructing the street from Main to Alder, doing stormwater treatment since that whole area isn't treated right now. It's just all the water from Maine goes down that area, the bus stop and all that, and goes into Shell Marsh without being treated. We've got money to do low-impact development, so we'll be doing a pervious bike lane there. So it'll be our first installment of pervious pavement for the city, so we can kind of see how it goes for us for installing and maintaining. The next one, Katie talked about the Washington Street, so there will be a stormwater component for that. And then Ferndale Terrace stormwater project is one that I applied for, but I haven't heard back yet. It's just would be in the design phase right now. Sure about water. But anyway, so this would be for the whole street reconstruct, but kind of like the Third Avenue, it's there's a lot of money out there with the Department of Ecology for stormwater. So if we go at it from a stormwater perspective and implement low-impact development, which we're required to do anyway, we can often get money to to at least design the street through ecology and then put in all the improvements, if we have money for the rest of it. Which
you need, like, sidewalks?
Right. So we have to find our own money for that, the non-stormwater components, so that's the difficulty, but at least we can get it designed, hopefully, through a grant with Ecology. But I applied, and I'm supposed to hear back in August and in September, and I still haven't heard, so I'm sure that means good news, right? let's see. The next one.
From Vista all the way to Hendrickson? On Ferndale Terrace?
Yeah, I think so.
Wow.
Yeah, Vista to Hendrickson. That's what I applied for.
Yeah. Design. Wow.
And then, we'll see.
The design.
That's still pretty extensive. Yeah, that's a stretch. Wow.
Yeah, that's a big street that a lot of people complain about the stormwater on. So
mm-hmm.
I think some people drop over dead if we actually.
Well, we've only been talking about it for a lot of things for what, 20 years?
It must be 20 because they were talking about it before I got on.
Yeah. So that's the idea. It's been on the list for a really long time, and I'd like to check it off.
Stormwater.
Kate talked about the Labami Sewer Project. There'll be a stormwater component to that project as well. And then the final one I have is the stormwater decant improvement. Our current decant is just a slab down at the wastewater treatment plant, the water treatment plant, and right now we have to pay to truck the material, truck it to a rail, and then they haul it away because it's contaminated. So right now we have to wait and see if when it dries out, it's connected to sewer, so all the liquid waste drains to sewer, and then the solid waste is trucked out. But as you can imagine, when it gets rained on, it just gets heavier, then we have to pay for that, try to wait till it dries out to the maximum extent possible. But if we were to build a big structure with a roof, then we could have a lot more cost-effective decant, and then also possibly reuse some of the material. I applied for a design grant through Ecology on Friday, so we'll probably hear about that next year. So I think a couple of these projects will not happen if we don't get grant money But otherwise, we'll be busy with the Gateway project and then also doing the LID code update we've been talking about. And you'll start to see codes coming up probably in the next, I don't know, couple of weeks for that. So, any questions?
How many people came to your OpenConnect development class?
I don't actually know. Paul led that one, and I haven't talked to him yet. So.
Zero?
Really?
Zero.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's what I figured. So we sent out mailers to everyone with rain gardens and tried to, you know, try to advertise it, but it's hard to make people care.
People came to the pond one. I know the HOA guy.
Mm-hmm.
Myers Estates was very happy with the class, so.
Yeah.
And our HOA website's going up this week, so.
What was that, Riley?
We're building a website for our HOA associations to provide more information about that sort of stuff.
That'd be much appreciated.
Hi.
We currently have a lot of information for the stormwater component right now, but taking to the water, but you can't make him drink, I guess. Right? So, all right, any more?
Ooh.
All right, thank you.
Okay, next on this list is the street projects. So Wendy talked about the 3rd Avenue Stormwater Improvement Project that'll upgrade 3rd between Main and Alder. That's scheduled for construction next year. We have Washington 3rd to Vista, and if you remember, that's our TIB and Safe Routes to School funded project that is being designed. Now, we hope to have that work done early spring so we can go out to bid and then start as soon as the kids are out of school. That's just over $1 million for construction. Next on the list is the roundabout at Main and La Bounty. So that's an exciting project where we lump some other components in, the sewer, the water, the storm, some street. So we're looking forward to getting that design done so we can hopefully go to construction next year. It's going to be a real push. We've got quite a lot of work to do there with permitting and right-of-way and design and that sort of stuff. Next on the list is the Thornton Road BNSF overpass phase 2 design. We actually don't have any money plugged in there, but we didn't want to kind of, not that anybody's going to forget about it, but we wanted to put a placeholder on there so that design could potentially move forward into 2016. Beyond what we're working on now.
Do you know what that would cost? So this would actually get the design of the road so we know where everything is placed, the materials and all that?
Right now they're doing the pre-design. And basically what that does is that they're doing survey, archaeological, wetland reconnaissance. I think it wasn't last week, it was 2 weeks ago. Our consultant, their sub-consultant, had a driller out with a soils analysis, and they drilled a couple of the properties to look at the soils. And the soils on the east side of the railroad tracks are kind of poor. They won't hold up well to that extra weight. So you can, I was talking to the geologist about that. I think he's a geologist, geotechnical guy. So you preload the soils. Basically, by determining what kind of soils you have under your road and your fills and your bridge structure, that determines what the footprint's going to be. So they're gathering all this information so they can kind of pin things up into a tidier box so we know what the design is. So the next step would actually be to start real design. And I don't have a figure for that. Design is anywhere from 15% to 25% of a project's overall cost, so it's not cheap. So if you're talking $30 million, you're
doing the math.
Yeah,
it's
expensive. Next on the list is the Cherry Street sidewalk and pedestrian safety improvements. This project we put forward for a TIB grant, and basically what this would do is it would install a sidewalk from 1st Avenue on the north side of Cherry Street all the way to 3rd. a lot of these grant opportunities, TIB included, it has to be a federally classified road to be eligible for funding, and Cherry Street is between 2nd and 1st only. So if we were to get this, we were to get this money from the TIB, the city would actually have to pay for the sidewalk on Cherry Street from 2nd to 3rd. So.
Can you explain the category again, federally?
So roadways, in order to be eligible for some monies, and this is why we have a hard time funding projects like Ferndale Terrace, they have to be recognized as a federally classified roadway. And that's a process where you go through the state and you have to, I don't know all the details about it, but you have to prove whatever things it takes in order to get it recognized as a federally classified roadway in order to become eligible for some funding opportunities.
What are the general principles? What are they looking for? I don't want the detail, but what become that? Is it traffic? Is it location?
Yes, both. You know, Main Street's federally classified. Church Road's federally classified. We actually had to go through a process to get Church Road federally classified in order to be eligible for funding for that project. We're working on getting Thornton Road from Molloy to I-5 federally classified, so that'll open up opportunities for funding sources for that project as well. So it has to do with access outside of just the jurisdiction itself.
For the road that doesn't exist. Would that be federally classified? From Thornton all the way down to the roundabout. We haven't built it yet, but would it be considered?
If we get it classified, yes. Okay. I don't know enough about this whole process to speak.
Let's go back to Cherry from 2nd to 3rd. So you think that's on a faster schedule, or?
No, we submitted for a TIB grant, and I think that they their TIB board meeting is. It's either late October or early November, so we should know in the next couple of months if we got funds for that. And so,
do we need sidewalks from 2nd to 3rd on Cherry?
Well, it's one area in that block or in the downtown core that doesn't have any sidewalk facilities. When I was down there, maybe 2 days before the grant closed that we needed to have our application materials in, I was taking photos of the site because you always submit photos as part of your application. And there were a lot of kids that were walking that. Yeah, there's some apartment buildings on the end of 3rd, and then you've got the Boys and Girls Club and the.
Well, I understand right there by the school. And
These were teenage kids that were walking through there. Teenage kids that were walking through there. So.
Well, it's barely wider than an alley. Basically, yeah.
Yeah, you either have to be.
I would be more concerned with the elementary school children walking along that stretch.
But there are no sidewalks on either side between.
Yeah, it's barely bigger than an alley right now.
Right.
It doesn't look like a normal street.
Have you paid attention? Who replaced County Councilman Sam Crawford on the TIB board, or did anybody?
I'm not sure.
We used to be able to lobby Mr. Crawford.
Yeah.
I can find that out. That's interesting. That would be an interesting. Do we have enough right of way there?
We have a huge right of way there. If you go on the city's GIS system, it's super wide.
Our community development director is looking because he knows what we were both looking at each other. There's some houses there that might be nice to have back in city right of way.
There's actually quite wide right-of-way on 3rd Avenue. If you were to stand at Cherry and 3rd and look north, there's a sidewalk that is next to the, what is that, the interfaith? You look at that, and there's some big trees that sidewalk would come right through those big trees. And then I don't know what the exact dimension is, but... The setback for the houses on Cherry itself is not very far from the actual right of way, so I'm guessing it'd have to be at least 60 feet. That's a big road.
Well, it'd be interesting to storm on that, too. Okay, that's a whole different subject. I got to really think about that one. Okay, thank you.
Yeah. And that's just a sidewalk, so we're not talking about road improvements. We're just talking about putting in a sidewalk. Next on the list is the Portalway Pavement Preservation, and that's Enterprise to Grandview. We have another TIB application in for that project. If you've driven that road, it's asphalt over concrete panels, and so we were looking at doing a grind and an overlay similar to what we did on Barrett Road, basically just to sharpen that pavement up. Next on the list is reconstruct and widen Washington Street, Main to Vista. We put this in as a TIB grant application as well, and that would be a full road reconstruction. That one's it is a federally classified road. It is eligible for TIB funding, so basically it would widen, reconstruct the road. Has a water component, has a sewer component, has a storm component, and install new sidewalks basically all the way from Vista to, it's more like Lego, but essentially Washington or Main Street. So that's on the list. And then we also included the street component for Wendy's design project for Ferndale Terrace. And then the two projects you always see on the six-year tip are the annual sidewalk replacement and now the crack sealing as well. Those are in on the list at $100,000 and $80,000.
Would sidewalk, we keep talking about sidewalks on Portal, would that be under sidewalk replacement and, or would that be a separate project if we wanted to?
I would think it would have to be new.
That's what I think. Because we've talked about just putting like some kind of just some asphalt or something so the kids would have someplace safer to walk. But that's not in the problem.
I guess it depends on how you interpret annual sidewalk replacement.
Okay. My definition of is?
I think you should ask Greg.
Okay. I'll drive over there right now.
Okay. He could use a ride.
He's probably hitchhiking somewhere.
I like that image.
Oh, and there's one on this list that I skipped over. Sorry. It's the library crosswalk, like the crosswalk at the library, and Greg has been talking with Phillips 66 about getting some, they always have some grant funds available, and so he's coordinating with them to fund kind of making that a better, safer crossing for people there with a flashing beacon and the whole works. So.
I thought Luis was actually finishing up with the sign.
He's working on that.
Okay, it's finished
yet. Probably not. I mean, there's always something to do. We don't have a bid package, so no.
Okay.
Anything else? Okay. Well, we'll talk to you about the facilities portion of the plan.
Good evening. Facilities. Start with the tough one first. Pizza Annex. No secret. But we have had a couple of, I thought, pretty productive meetings with a consultant that went through the building. David King walked through, took a lot of measurements, went through the structural integrity of the building, went through the water issues with it, or lack of water issues now with it. And he's actually coming up with some conceptual designs for us to look over and for you guys to be able to look at and determine what we want to repurpose that building to, if we want to repurpose the building. We talked to David about council, court. What else did we talk about, Kathy?
It was mostly council, court, maybe
planning and building.
Some office space and maybe a little bit of storage if we couldn't work in council. So depending on what he comes back with, a usable footprint, we'll probably have a better idea of where we can go with that. And then, which brings me to this building, the repurpose of this facility. We've outgrown a lot of things, and I know the court has significantly outgrown this building. They have way too many people in here, I think, on most days, and Chief would be probably more than happy to talk to you about that. But the judges' chambers are holding cells. They're inadequate. So we need to figure out what we want to do as a city moving forward with this facility. We want to keep it? Is this something that we want to turn over and sell the property, use the money for something else? no doubt there used to be a fire engine park right here. So we've made very good use out of this building over the years. City Hall used to be a bank, and now it's City Hall, and we've made good use out of that. So we've done our due diligence, I think, as a city and as a council, moving forward with some of these things, doing what we can do to cut taxpayer dollars and salvage some stuff. But we've got some tough decisions ahead of us on some of this stuff because we're really going to have to figure out where we're going because we are getting bigger. And I don't think this building is going to hold us much longer. I've talked to several of you council members that don't really appreciate sitting in here for 4 hours on a Monday night. Not the nicest building in the winter when it's cold, not the nicest building in the summer when it's hot. So we have some discussions coming based on what David King brings back for the pizza annex. I think that'll tell us a whole lot about where we're going to go.
Do we have a time frame, though?
The last I heard from Greg was David was given two other options, perhaps, to look at with his original design. So he came back. I let him in the building. He took some more measurements just to make sure that he had everything he needed moving forward. He didn't want to leave anything out. So any questions that we come up with, any questions that the council comes up with, he wanted to be able to answer for the last time. How much of this building can we use? How much of it do we have to rip down? What's the footprint that we can use of this building? What's the structural integrity of the foundation? Can we go wider than the foundation and add on to it? Can we go up? Can we get vertical with that building? So he has a lot of questions to answer so that we can make the best decision we can make going forward. And it, it's a good plan. I think talking to David and having that meeting was a good plan because he is going to be a huge help to us moving forward. Second Avenue Fieldhouse. It is, by all rights, condemned. There is no way we would ever open that building back up for any kind of use in the shape that it's in now. It needs something. We've discussed long-range plans. We've discussed short-term plans. My opinion is we need to get that thing torn down to the slab, period. Where we go from there is completely up to the council.
That's floodplain, right? So
we can remodel. We just cannot build new. So Yori and I have
met. We can take it to the slab and that's considered remodel.
We can take it and remodel based on existing infrastructure that's there.
Going to the slab, you're allowed to go back up, or you can go to the studs.
The studs aren't going to work. There's a little footing on top of the slab. So there's like a foundation stud wall there that we can actually use to construct.
So I'm just going to ask it a little differently. So we could go down the slab.
Pretty much.
And then go up again and not have the floodplain.
Right. So our initial design ideas were concrete tilt-up. The prefab, tilt-up concrete panels, bolt them together, stainless steel.
Does it have foundation under the walls? Does it just slab?
No, it's got a little foundation around it. It does. I don't know what the structural integrity of it is, but I do know that there's a little foundation. We plan to keep that foundation existing.
So you're thinking, aren't we thinking restrooms more than anything else?
Right.
Is there a need for anything else but restrooms at that site?
No, I don't think so, Mr. Nancy. I think what we have there is sewer connection, water connection. It's all there. What we're really looking for more than anything is more restroom facilities for our park users. And everybody knows we're getting close on the Star Park. That's going to demand more restroom facilities. Pavilion's just not going to hold what we need it to hold. ConocoPhillips, gates are locked, rightfully so. That building is worth protecting, and we can't leave it unattended. So looking at different park facilities over the years, the concrete tilt-up seems to be a great way to do it. Some of you that travel a lot extensively, like Paul, I know that you drive a lot. You see these things, these little pull-offs on the side of the road, just a little tilt-up, and it's basically two restrooms. It's It's a male and a female restroom, and there's a concrete tilt-up panel. They bolt together, and everything inside is stainless steel, pretty much maintenance-free. Even the mirrors are stainless steel. You're not going to come out of there looking real pretty, but you'll come out of there with your hat on the right direction.
Well, you mentioned Star Park. Is there any way we could put, if we tore down the field house and just abandoned it, we actually move that restroom plan to the other side of Conical so it's closer to Star Park? I can envision four-year-old kids trying to make it to that restroom in Star Park.
No, I agree with that. From the initial investigation that I've done, I would say no. Because of the you already could probably speak to that way better than I. The initial research that we've done says we can't construct a bathroom there, a restroom facility there. If we remodel the existing, we're in good shape.
How much would you give a cost estimate if you just did the concrete?
No. Nope, not yet. Only because that price is like it's like a lobster. It's fair market price. Okay. So the prices do go up and down pretty rapidly. So if I gave you a quote today, it wouldn't be good tomorrow. So the prices of that stuff fluctuate. And it's not a huge fluctuation, but it does change. So at the point we get to where we want to move forward, obviously we bring back monetary adjustments to our budget and ask for help or whatever it is. The other one is the shop. Our maintenance facility on Lego. Most of it was built and constructed late 70s, early 80s. We've done very little maintenance to that building, especially aesthetically. So it's starting to show some work. We've got some painters that have come in and given us some bids for painting all the old green metal and updating. And we're right about $10,000 to paint that place. So all the green stuff, we try to match it with the gray that's up there now. That's kind of gray color with the green roof. So the roofs have been redone. We put some new overhead doors in there over the years because the wood ones just swell up and fall apart. So we've got some nice new overhead doors. So we just want to kind of upgrade it. And we got a brand new police department sitting right next to it. It's kind of becoming a little bit of an eyesore. I don't know how many people pay attention to it when you drive up there. I certainly do, but I work there every day. So if you're somebody from out of town and you're looking for the police department, take a wrong turn and you're I'm on the wrong side of the tracks. And that's kind of what it looks like. So, our goal is to update it and kind of bring it up to where the color actually meets the rest of the facilities.
And some of your nicer apartments, quite frankly, nicer places.
There are.
Would you consider possibly trying to color match it to the police station?
Color is
Kind of a tan, yeah.
We could. Then we're just all two-tone.
Greenish.
Because everything we've done recently over the last several years, from 2003 is when we built the new office space. From 2003 till now, everything's been that gray metal color with a green roof or a gray roof. So we were hoping we could just match that and kind of make it a little compound.
It's your facility. Do what you want to.
It is, but, other people have to drive by it and look at it, and every now and again you might be approached by somebody from the public that you're looking for a vote or just looking to have, make them happy, and they're, why did you paint it that color? So, it really doesn't matter to us. We just kind of want it to look better. We've got a lot of rotten fascia board on it. We need to strip some of that stuff off and replace it. Just bring it up to snuff.
Structurally, the building sound structurally?
Yes. The building's a great structure. That's the only reason we approached it with painting the metal, is because everything else is standing up nicely. They did a pretty good job back then.
It's going a different, little direction, but it kind of ties in. Do you saw anything stored at Cedar Street?
Yes. We have...
Does the council all know what I'm talking about, Cedar Street?
Totem pole
still there?
Somewhere from the train. Have that refurbished.
What's the cost of that?
The problem with going in the pavilion is we don't have the height at any point in the pavilion where that thing will fit.
thought there was a talk about the library.
The library doesn't want it.
No, they don't want it.
Well, and that's...
Because it sat outside the old library.
It costs so much money to refurbish those. It really, you can't give it away. Nobody wants those things because you just can't paint it. You know, we can't have our summer help just go over there and paint it. It has to be done by the carver. And that passes generational to the next guy in line.
Okay. So in where I'm going, in the interest of time, I mean, because you got quite a bit of acreage on Cedar Street. You know, it's quite a bit of acres, that big parking lot, this one really old warehouse. Do we have anything, is the stuff in there other than the totem pole needs a place to be stored somewhere, or could we consider selling Cedar Street?
We could consider selling Cedar Street. There's some lumber in there that we keep for dry storage lumber, just for fixing stuff in it, right? We have lumber there we keep up. Stuff out of it, it's dry, it's flat. Now there's miscellaneous office furniture, there's some desks in there, and they're not nice, but it's part of our surplus program. You don't just take it and throw it
away.
What's
the size
to do a declaration.
Of that lot there?
I don't know what the size of that lot is. You're bordered by the river, I-5, and then three houses right there.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'd say, because the parking lot, with the way lots are now, probably three building lots, maybe. Anyway, it's something to think about in 2016 as
well, so you and I have talked
as you explore this one. Yeah.
So
sure.
You guys, no, it's not floodplain.
So anyway, it's for future council to think about. Is I mean that's you know it's basically and the old tanks are all mitigated.
Yeah, there's the only thing left is a. Concrete structure that was a
water.
Lagoon.
Yeah, water
but it's,
treatment.
It's completely filled in.
Okay. Anyway, for future council, that's the thing I was going to think, okay, what can we do when money gets tight? Sell Cedar Street.
I'm comment on the totem pole. I remember years ago, you know, that's the type of project that a citizen could grab hold of. If it's a dollar amount to pay the, you know, person to do it. I said, you know, we're looking for someone that would be a benefactor of this particular historic project. Those
well, I'll be careful on that. When we did the totem pole in front of what is U.S. Bank, it you know had cultural significance, and it only could be brought back by that same culture. Or
if you find out
was,
what that pathway is, and it's going to be a dollar sign, you know, benefactor says, yeah, I can get
this. Yeah, this is the Pegasus that was donated to Mobile.
It's like 50,000.
Mobile didn't want to do any updating to it, so they gave it to us for the library.
60.
2 years ago.
We did the new PD. It had to be removed for that. So it sits. And
you're,
it needs some
serious you're facing the same issue at the Riverwalk. Those totem poles are beginning to show the signs of wear.
Yep.
And if they're ignored for, let's say, another 10 years, without any fresh updating of the paint, they're going to start to rot. You have that issue wherever we've established it.
I can see a committee formed to tackle this subject by some retiring council members.
Really?
In all that's fair.
Yeah. I'm not so sure.
Good luck with that one. Good luck with finding that guy.
That's worth a try. Okay, sorry. Moving on.
And then the last project Mike already talked about a little bit was the wellhead protection project. And why that's significant to us is depending on what the protection program comes back as, we may or may not have use of the facility around the wellhead, which is located in the middle of the shop.
What about Bursman House?
You'd have to have the passage of the Metropolitan Parks District to even discuss that avenue.
It was discussed.
Well,
that's
the honest of it. That there isn't money in the parks budget as it exists now to tackle Bursman House. You're getting close where You know, bird's mouth's not that far years. If you don't do anything, you're probably not going anybody in there either.
Except for prayer tap board.
Yeah. Well, you had your meetings there. It's just a lovely building.
So the facilities total going into 2016, right now we're looking at 56,000. Our bid kind of for the tilt-up, 46, and then 10 to 90. So that's kind of what we set aside for placeholders to maybe remodel the restroom facility at Second Avenue.
Oh, I like that better than sewers and streets.
And then the 10,000 to paint the shop. And depending on how your votes go, when we get the David King information back for repurposing our facility. So I think it'll be interesting.
So, but for right now, you think we could do tilt up, like, you're talking demo in that too?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm thinking our guys would do the demo.
Okay. So, but budgetary thing is 56 total. That gives you the shop and a new tilt-up bathroom at the end of second.
Possibly.
That's not a bad price. That's better than I thought. Okay, 56 total. All right. Dreamer.
Well, that's predicated on having somebody donate the restroom actual facilities.
It really depends on how big the footprint gets. If we're going to keep it basic and small and not take advantage of having the showers and the stalls and everything that's in there now, it's a pretty large facility, really. If you've never been in there, the Boys and Girls Club used to use it as a storage facility for all their equipment. Back when I was growing up, the Ferndale Recreation Council, before the Boys and Girls Club was here, that was their hub. So if you played a youth sport in Ferndale, you went there, signed up, got your gear, drove away. And that was kind of our little recreation council area. So they did their meetings upstairs, and everything that they owned for sports and rec was in that hub.
And a concession stand.
And a concession stand on the very end of it.
Okay.
So it's actually a fairly large facility that we don't want to go quite that large with when we remodel it.
I think you're tight on. Okay, that's a pretty frugal number, 56 for those two things. I'm impressed. Okay, we got.
Now you tell us how we're going to pay for it. You have 35 seconds.
I want at least a 5-minute break, so you got 2.5 minutes.
I could take some time during regular session.
Yeah, we're okay. Okay. Anyone from you guys? You guys are all here, so any other statements for Public Works? No? Well, it was a really nice presentation. I've heard that it was a really nice booklet that you all would have gotten.
Colors and everything.
You know, maybe that's why we should talk later in executive session about the Public Works Director position. You know, we can maybe get someone that can get those three-ring binders to a council meeting.
Someone with a car that wants to hire.
Obviously, we hope Greg's listening to this recording.
But he did tell me on the phone when he called and said he wouldn't be here that he's plugged it. Very happy.
Yeah.
Well.
Well, obviously, you gave him more sympathy than I did.
I didn't.
What, do you want me to drive to Sun Valley to help you? I'm not going to do that. Okay, anyone? We got a couple more minutes. Any questions of you want staff to direct towards? We kind of see where the direction is. That those numbers are better than I thought.
No,
he'll never come back. It's in his truck, and the truck is probably towed away, and you'll never see it ever again. Yes, we will get to you before the end of the week.
There was a couple of years ago that you and I went out to the end of Cedar Street there and looked at that property, and the idea that you and I were tossing around, that would make a hell of a river access park.
Well, and that would be kind of neat is if you could still, because you have, Bo says, underneath the, the weeds and everything. I mean, it looks like we used to play Army in there because it looked like a World War II facility. And if you still retain the access to the river for public access, you could sell it with conditions. We don't have a lot of right-of-way to the river, but there's still a way there. So, yeah, Carol, I don't know if you should drive down the end of Cedar Street. You can just drive in. It's the original city shop from way, way back. And then it was the original water treatment plant from way, way back. But it's not a giantly valuable lot, but like Mel said, it's multifamily, and people are looking for multifamily. So.
Did you ever figure out how big that is, Yuri?
19,000 square feet, so it could yield 11 units possibly.
Ooh, so more than I think. Bigger than I thought. 11 units, retail value, sir.
Right on the river. We got the, you also have the freeway. Right
fishing off
the
bottom.
We still, I mean, have we talked? We had a developer that you know wanted to write me a check for $300,000 for this building. You know, without much of a negotiation. So we knew that was a little low. But I mean, that's to think about in 16 of if you get a good answer on Pizza Annex, and then you know you can basically try to sell this. The only problem is you know you've got to find a home for Service Co-op. You can't just, you know, throw them out into the wind. You have to have a home for that.
Did somebody say break?
What's that?
Did somebody say break?
Oh, yeah, we should go. Yeah, so let's adjourn.